The thing that really annoyed me about Jesus was his unpredictability. He would turn up without any warning and then disappear again for months on end. Don't get me wrong, it was always lovely to see him, but I like to be prepared. I suppose I'm like my mum. She was always busy, cooking, cleaning, making or mending clothes, helping the neighbours, arguing with Dad. I don't have one memory of her resting, just sitting in the sun or snoozing in the shade. Dad was a different matter altogether. My abiding memory of him is of him sitting in the sun or snoozing in the shade. He did work, just not very much. He was a beekeeper. The great thing about that job is that the bees do all the hard work. All he had to do was to provide them with a home, learn their habits and their moods, and do anything he needed to do to gather the delicious honey very slowly and very calmly. It was an ideal job for someone who preferred to sit and think or chat rather than to be busy doing. It is clear that my sister Mary takes after him. Some would describe her as relaxed and meditative. I would describe her as lazy. Where does Lazarus, our younger brother, fit in? Sadly, he has never really had the opportunity to be like our mother or our father, because he has been sick since the day he was born. Many expensive doctors have tried to cure him over the years, but nothing has worked. We've never found a name for his illness. Ever since he was born, he was just poorly. We are three very different siblings. We bicker and fall out from time to time, but we do love each other, and in an emergency, we stick together. This was never more evident than when, in the course of one fateful year, both our parents died. We were all just emerging into adulthood when one day, while Mum was hanging out the washing, she simply dropped down dead. We were all devastated, but none more so than Dad. To be honest, he never recovered. He turned in on himself, became quieter, even less communicative than usual. His grief consumed him, and the following winter he caught a chill, and within 3 days he was gone. He didn't die from the chill. He died from a broken heart. That left the three of us alone together. With no parents to arrange marriages for us, we just carried on. I kept busy looking after the house and brought some money in by cleaning the houses of a few wealthy people. Mary had learned about the bees from Dad, so she made sure they kept working hard and that we made some money selling the honey. Together, we looked after Lazarus. We continued to bicker and fall out from time to time, but we made a home and became a small, close family. We loved each other, and sometimes we would talk and argue about all sorts of things late into the night. Occasionally, we would do this with our few close friends. Jesus was one of those friends. I can't remember where our friendship with him came from. He was from Nazareth and we lived in Bethany, just outside Jerusalem, a good 3 days' journey away. I imagine there was some distant family connection. Anyway, it doesn't matter how we became friends. The important thing was that we were friends. We loved being together. I just wish that Jesus would let us know when he was coming so I could prepare properly. When we were together, we would talk and argue about nearly everything. Religion, politics, relationships. The only thing we never talked about was death. The death of our parents was so tragic and grieved us so deeply that it seemed we were never able to talk about it at all. Then one day Lazarus went into decline. He began sleeping more, eating less, and he lost interest in the bits of gossip Mary brought back when she had been to the well each day. It was as if he was slowly starting to drift away. At first we pretended that nothing had changed, but Mary and I both knew that it had. We felt frightened and alone. We wanted our parents. In the end, we sent a message to Jesus. We were not sure what he could do. We just wanted him to come and be with us. We waited, and he didn't come. I got angry. He would turn up unannounced, but when we needed him most, he was too busy or just couldn't be bothered. The point was, he didn't come. Then Lazarus died, and our hearts, broken by the death of our parents, were fragmented. We buried him and went into deep mourning. Everyone else went back to their normal lives, and we went back to our house, which suddenly felt less like a home. It was cold, and it was empty. 4 days of mourning passed, and then someone came to tell us that Jesus was approaching. I rushed out to find him. I was furious, all my grief concentrated in anger directed at him. He was a holy man. Many called him Rabbi. If he was that holy, he would have come when we asked, and maybe he could have saved Lazarus. By the time I found him, I was breathless and sobbing uncontrollably. My anger had turned to despair. If you had come, he'd still be here, I said amidst gasping tears. He'll rise again, he said. I stared at him with utter disbelief. That is what many said when they didn't know what to say to those who are grieving. I didn't want him to rise again sometime in the future. I wanted him now. I wanted him not to be dead. I am the resurrection and the life, he said as he embraced me. He said something else as well, but I didn't catch it all. As I clung to him, I whispered, "You are holy, close to God. I do believe in you. You must help." He smiled and told me to go and find Mary. She was angry with him too, but as she so rarely experienced anger and frustration, she did not know what to do with it or how to express it. She just looked deeply sad and broken. I told her where Jesus was, and uncharacteristically she left quickly and ran to him. I tried to keep up. I was worried that in her present state she might attack and hit him. When she saw him, she approached quickly and threw herself at his feet and wailed, "If you had been here, Lazarus would not have died." That was the moment he changed. Up until then, he had been calm, controlled. It was almost as if he were directing the events that were unfolding. But once Mary had thrown herself on the ground in despair and sobbed, he dropped to the ground in front of her. Huge tears had formed in his eyes, and he began to weep. All was silent except for the sound of weeping. We were crying because our brother had died, but it was as if his tears were not only for us too, but for everyone who calls out in the despair and agony of grief. Eventually he got up and helped Mary to her feet. Still weeping, he asked to be taken to the grave, and we went with him, each holding his hand. When we arrived, he asked for the stone to be moved from the entrance. Then he let go of our hands and went in, praying under his breath. The smell was awful. Entering a grave containing a newly buried corpse would make him ritually unclean and also put him at risk of disease. We had no idea what he was doing. We held each other and waited. Then a loud cry, "Lazarus, come out!" Slowly, Two figures emerge from the darkness of the tomb. Jesus with his arm around Lazarus, supporting him as he stumbled, tangled in his shroud, pale and gaunt, blinking in the sun. Jesus walking with him from darkness to light. The next few days passed in a blur. It is difficult to wrestle yourself free from the grip of grief once it has taken hold, even when the person you are grieving for is returned to you. In the days that followed, I couldn't help wondering why he had done it. Why had he given Lazarus his life back? Why had he given Mary and me our brother back? People die all the time. He wasn't going to do for everyone what he had done for Lazarus. As the days passed and Lazarus regained his strength, we found ourselves talking and began to realise that for the first time ever, we were talking about dying and death. Through the anger, tears, agony, relief, joy and love we had all experienced over the last few days, we were emerging as people who were no longer afraid of death. We were not sure why the fear had gone, but as we remembered Jesus in the midst of it all, we remembered his confidence, his sadness and tears, his willingness to enter the dark, smelly grave, and we realised it wasn't Lazarus coming out of the grave, but Jesus going into the grave that took away our fear. We knew we would all die one day, even Lazarus, but now we knew that when that day comes, we will not be alone. Jesus will be with each of us in the pain and mess of death, calling us on to new life. And Jesus will be with those left behind in the pain and mess of grief, weeping with them, holding them, and walking with them to discover new ways of living. The story of the raising of our brother Lazarus has shown us that love is bigger than death, and that Jesus walks with the dead and the living, leading us all from darkness to light.